Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I am Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds and the man bun himself, Trevor Sycamo, wearing his ugly gator hat. Guys, this is the one that we have promised you for a while. Our good friend and welcome back addition to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from a lot of fans, a guy who's helped solidify this position, Mr. Pat Murray. Pat, thanks for joining us tonight.
Mark, thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
Now, Pat, we're live at Ford's Garage here in Brandon. I keep saying Brandon. We're in the Wesley Chapel location.
Ford's in my neck of the woods, Cook.
That's right. Wesley Chapel. A little WC weird here. Pasco County.
Wesley Chapel.
What? He's throwing up gang signs. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
I see that. Yeah.
Wesley Chapel.
No. Don't ever do that again. Don't ever do that again. Stop. Well, anyway. Glad to have you back here in Tampa. You know, Scott and I were talking when the Buccaneers re-signed you. We remember you when you were here a few years ago, and we joked around about you were probably the most confident kicker we've ever been around. I remember one time you telling me, I'm not going to miss a kick. This was before the year started, and I was like, and I laughed, and you gave me that Irish steel death look, and you're like, I'm not kidding. I don't plan on missing.
Now he's going to kick the ball. He's going to kick your ass.
I know. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, he's going to kick you right through the uprights.
And there was another time I was like, so what kind of range are you at? You know, 50, 55? And you go, 70 on a good day. And I laughed again. And again, you looked at me like you were looking right through my soul. Talk a little bit about where that confidence comes from.
Kind of like he's looking
from.
At you right now.
Well, that's true.
That's just because I'm hungry.
Oh, okay. But talk about where that confidence comes from.
The confidence truly comes from the amount of hours that I've put in on the practice field with my father. We've kicked from every conceivable position on a field, in between the hashes, outside the hashes, on the sidelines. We've kicked from everywhere. So, in my opinion, once you step through those white lines, if you're not confident, you've already lost. So I just take that confidence, and I know that the guys on the line are going to do their job. Garrison's going to snap the ball great. Brian's going to hold it perfectly, and I'm going to make the kick.
Well, what's it been like coming back to Tampa? And you've got, I mean, there's the three of you now. These are three new people that you didn't work, two new people that you didn't work with before. How was that a bit of a transition for you, or did it click pretty quick for you?
It clicked pretty quickly, and the reason being is that Garrison's played, I think this is his ninth season, and I believe this is Brian's sixth, if I'm not mistaken. So you've got two consummate professionals that you're going in there, and they made the transition very, very easy for me. They're extremely good at their jobs, and fortunately it's worked out pretty well.
You were really welcomed back, not just by the fans, but by your current teammates. I remember that first day you were in the locker room, Kevin Pamphill walked up and gave you a hug. Talk about what it was like, the reception you got from your current teammates.
It's an interesting journey so far, but to come back to a place that you started the journey with some of the guys that came in at the same time as you.
Mike Evans.
I mean,
2014 draft class.
Exactly. To come back and get to experience this all over again with the same people, it's truly a blessing. It really is. And on top of all that, I walked into the weight room. Jameis was working out. Jameis stopped his workout, came over and said, "Welcome back, Pat." If that's not a leader right there, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
I tell you, I've covered this team for over 20 years, and the only other kicker that I think is kind of like not a kicker that's actually kind of welcomed and accepted and talked to by the players was Martin Gramatica and this guy.
Yeah.
Like, those are the only two that really kind of are one of the guys, not just, oh, you're the kicker, but no, like, you're a Buccaneer, you're a football player, and that's pretty apparent, and that's pretty cool, because I've seen a lot of kickers, too many kickers, roll through this town, and that's not the case, but it speaks a lot about your character, and I think just you being a football player, not just a kicker, right. That's your mentality.
Well, I've always believed that respect is earned, it's not given. So by what I do on the field, by the way that I act in the weight room, the way that I act in the locker room, just going about my business like a true professional, I've been able to earn the respect of my teammates. And in turn, we've had some pretty cool moments together, and we're going to continue to have those moments.
You know, you mentioned that he was confident, like, first time you met him. I'm going to use this term in a very endearing way. I thought you were a cocky bastard, and I mean that lovingly. And I say that because when I interviewed you for one of the first times, we were talking about your family's history of Gaelic football and your uncle,
yep,
right, who's a big time star,
yeah,
in that.
Yeah,
that
I
realm.
Had two uncles who were pretty big time.
Okay, yeah, two uncles, and you know, I said, what's it going to be like when you kick a game winning field goal? And you're like, that's pretty cool, but I also want to make a tackle. I'm like, you want to make a tackle? Like, yeah, I want the kickoff return job duties too. And because I think Michael Kanin might have had him at the time.
Yes, he did.
I want the kickoff return job or the kickoff duties, and I want to make a tackle. And I looked at you, and like, you're not the biggest guy, Pat.
Really?
You're not the biggest guy. I'm just telling you, you're not the
He's
biggest
literally
guy.
He's literally 5 foot, 130 pounds. I just
now,
measured him.
Mark, now, Mark, no, now I'm going to really give you the steel.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. Never mind.
I
take
about
that,
that
back. I take
I
it
don't
back.
I about that.
But to me, I was like, hell yeah. That's my kicker right there. I want a guy that's going to kick the game winner and then go right back out there on the opening kickoff or the ensuing kickoff and make the damn tackle.
Scott Brantley was famous for talking about kickers, and he called them keekers. He was from Ocala, so he had a bit of a southern accent. But he talked about how flaky kickers were. But every once in a while, one would come along, and as Scott was talking about, you being one of the team, you know, a football player, not just this prima donna specialty guy that goes out and kicks for 10 minutes and then goes sits in the locker room and gets on social media. Martin Gramatica, remember at the bowling event, we asked Martin, what made you accepted by your teammates? And Martin said part of what made him accepted was every volunteer workout, he was there. He was in the weight room. When practice was going on, no, he didn't kick for 2 hours because you can't do that every day as a kicker. You'll wear out your leg. But he was as involved as he could be, and that's part of the respect that he got. Is that kind of what you were talking about earlier, earning that respect from your teammates?
Absolutely. I'm not going to be one of those guys that shows up, kicks a ball for 5 minutes, and then goes and sits down. I want to be a football player. I grew up an athlete.
Yeah.
In Gaelic football, you have to be an athlete. So for me, that's the mentality that I've brought over to kicking. I'm going to go in the weight room. I'm going to work out. I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to go and pound for pound try and be the strongest guy in the weight room. Is that going to happen? No, but I've got lofty goals. So by showing up, doing what I need to do, maybe even going that extra mile, it is appreciated, I think, by the other guys in the locker room. And in turn, those guys, they put their butts on the line every week. I got to be a guy that can be relied upon, and part of that is showing up and doing that extra little bit.
Yeah. Now you mentioned, we've talked about Gaelic football. For the people out there who are listening going, what the hell is that? You know, that's part of your Irish heritage.
Yes.
You know, just talk about that and what is Gaelic football?
So the best way I can describe it is go on YouTube and search it and watch it because it needs to be seen. But
you're telling me it's not on NBC or CBS?
You know,
weekend?
It should be.
Should it?
Oh, absolutely.
Listen to him.
It would get millions of viewers in this country, I guarantee you.
It's like rugby.
Because it's something different.
Right?
There's a little bit of rugby in
rugby.
There. Yeah, you can't wrap up when you tackle, but you throw your shoulder around.
Okay.
It's 15 guys playing against another 15 guys, men marking, 150-yard field by 75 yards wide. You got a goal at each end. You got posts on top of that goal. If you kick it in the net, it's worth 3 points. If you kick it over the bar between the posts, it's worth 1 point. Like I said, you can't wrap up when you tackle, but you throw your shoulder around. You can punch. Yeah, you can try to punch the ball out, and if it happens to hit you in the stomach, it hits you in the stomach.
Or like your jaw, like an uppercut.
Well, it's happened.
But, I mean, you guys have helmets and pads and like
full body armor,
all that stuff,
absolutely
right?
Absolutely not.
What?
Absolutely
no?
not. No? No, we don't need any of that.
No, none of that. Okay.
Of that.
So what's your uniform? Just like shorts and a shirt?
Shorts, jersey, cleats. Let's go.
Wow.
Plastic cleats, or not metal cleats, right?
Oh, these guys wear metal cleats.
Oh, my gosh.
Shin guards, like soccer?
No
shin guards. Hell no. Not soccer. No.
This sounds
Gaelic
like
football
and MMA mixed together with a touch of soccer thrown in.
Yeah. These guys that play at the highest level, they train like professional athletes. But the thing that I love most about the sport is that Monday to Friday, these guys go and work a 9-to-5 job.
Wow.
They're semi-pros. They don't get paid to play.
Wow. So this is like a club sport, right?
You play for your county that you were born in, and counties in Ireland, it's like your state.
I've heard of it. That's what I've heard about it, because somebody, I knew somebody who was involved in that kind of thing, and he told me, he's like, no, you don't have teams, there's not like clubs, you play for where you were born, and that's why it's like this pride element that you have where it's, you know, it's like playing for your country. It's almost like a mini Olympics or
Are
whatever.
Are you telling me
you
there's no free
somebody.
Agency in Gaelic soccer?
Gaelic football, and none whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, sorry. No free agency.
You're about to get kicked again.
Go. I'm not scared. Wait, actually I am. I was going to say I'm on the other side of the table, but I'm actually not.
Yeah.
Now, Pat, just real quick, We're not going to keep you too long. We appreciate you joining. Number one, we're going to talk about your charity in just a second. But I think a lot of Buccaneer fans want to know, you know, what happened? What you know, because you did have a good year with the Buccaneers, you know, early on in your career in that first year. But you had an injury. Talk a little bit about that, the rehab process, and your journey back to Tampa.
Well, I wouldn't wish an ACL tear on anybody. It not only affects the person that has the injury, but it affects all the people around them, because I did rely a lot on my parents those first couple weeks when I couldn't walk. And I just want to say I hope Carson Wentz gets better.
Yeah.
Him tearing his ACL yesterday, I send out a lot of prayers to him. Deshaun Watson, too. Two guys that have absolutely lit it up this year. I just want to kind of give a little special shout-out to them. Hopefully they get better soon, because they were fun to watch. But truthfully, I take the same mentality that I do every single day on the football field into rehab, meaning I'm going to win the day. I'm going to get better today. Like Coach Toll, my old high school coach, used to say, you either get better or you get worse. I was never going to be complacent in rehab. My parents drove me to be that way every single day. No matter how bad it hurt, no matter how bad I didn't want to do it, I knew that I could come back and play in the NFL again. So to have that as your goal, you can't do anything else but work your tail off every single day.
Now, you talked a little bit about, you know, during this time away from football, you almost went back into the corporate world. Yeah. I mean, you were almost at that point and when the Buccaneers called. Talk about how that happened and you coming back to Tampa Bay.
You know, I went to Fordham University, which is a tremendous school. I went there to get the best education possible, which I did. My ultimate goal was to go work on Wall Street. I was all set to do that, but then in 2014, I got the phone call, and I was all set to do it again. And I took interviews, and we were going through the process, and I was coming to the realization that this may be my reality now. And then thankfully, I got the phone call to come back and work out, and fortunately, I was the one that the Bucks chose. And I can't say that I'd rather be sitting at an office right now, because being out in Ray J is pretty fun.
When you were there and there was other guys that were trying out, did you walk in and like kind of look at Jason Light and say, nah, I'm your guy, and you know it and I know it, but I'm going to go out there and kick and I'm going to show you?
Truthfully, I get into a zone where I don't see anybody around me.
Really?
So I didn't see the other five guys that were there.
Yeah.
I didn't see if Jason Light was out there. That's not my concern. My concern is that football going through those posts.
Yeah.
So that was my focus. And the chips were going to fall where they were going to fall at the end of the day. As long as I put my best effort out there, I was confident.
Did they have you kick at the skinny goalposts or the regular goalposts?
We were all on the regular goalposts.
The regular, okay.
Yeah. But we practiced on the skinnies this past week.
Yeah.
I love those.
All right, so you're 14-16 this year.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, well, you are.
Thanks.
Yeah, which is pretty damn good. 87.5%.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's like up there, you know, at around the top.
You used a calculator for that, didn't you?
Well, hell yeah, there's no way. Of course
he
I used a calculator.
State. He didn't go to Fordham. There's no way he knew that off the top of his head.
Yeah.
I give you a lot of credit. I think you might have been able to figure that one out.
No.
I'm
don't give him
it,
any
I'm
credit
not.
At all.
No. But here's the thing. We're going to switch from math to science. Believe it or not, we were talking about this on the podcast last night. You actually made the game-winning kick up in Green Bay, and you made the game winner yesterday. So really, you're actually 16 of 18,
yeah.
Which is closer to 90%.
Yeah.
Because what we did was, like, it's not fair that you didn't have an opportunity to kick the game winners in those games. Because the defense, let's face it, and you don't have to comment, Mark and I will do it for you, but the defense has just not been that stopper at the end of the games. But the cool thing is in an alternate universe, alternate reality, you actually made those game winners. Your thoughts on those? Because those are pretty big kicks that you made. Do you
He's
remember
not
making
gonna
those
participate
kicks?
In our alternate universe, Scott. He's not.
Damn it.
He is very into reality.
Very into reality.
He doesn't even watch science fiction movies.
Well, I'm just gonna say I happened to watch those alternate universe kicks. They were beautiful. Right down the pipes.
Well, we know one thing. He would have had the confidence had he been called on to go out there and nail both of those kicks.
Yes.
There's no doubt about it.
And then make the tackle on the ensuing
kickoff.
Yes,
yes, definitely make the tackles on that. All right, Pat, talk a little bit about your charity. You chose the Shriners Children's Hospital, and that's what we're raising money for tonight. Forge is donating 10% of their proceeds tonight. We've got some raffle items we're giving away. That money is going to go to the Shriners. Just talk about why you chose that charity to be the benefactor of tonight.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Forge for donating 10% of the proceeds, and I'd like to thank you guys for giving me an opportunity to put forth a charity to receive this money. Being the holidays, we are so blessed to do what we do and to have the opportunities that we have. I can't imagine what it's like for a mother and a father to have to sit in a hospital room with their child. I truly can't. So if in any way we can make their stay there a little bit better, bring them a little bit of Christmas cheer, bring a smile to their face, that's really what this season is all about. And that's really what we're supposed to do as human beings. It's do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the golden rule. That's the rule that I live by. So hopefully these proceeds will go to a good cause like the Shriners Children's Hospital, and we can make some people smile.
How impressed are you with the organization itself and what they do charity-wise? Because you know, there's a negative concept out there that players are spoiled and they make too much money and this and that, but I don't know that people know enough about what you guys do off the field to make the community better. And coming back to the Tampa Bay organization, I'm sure that really stands out to you, what the Buccaneers do.
Our offensive and defensive lines are full of the most selfless human beings I've ever met in my life. Turkey time with the old line. Christmas time with the D-line, which I believe is going on tomorrow.
Yep.
It's amazing what those individuals do, what those men do. They are truly men for others. And I believe that through the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization, we're afforded those opportunities. I've got to visit MacDill Air Force Base a couple of times now, and to get to interact with the men and women that protect our country, that allow us to do what we do each and every single day, it's truly a blessing, and it's only through the Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization that that's possible. I'm truly impressed with the amount of work that they do, the amount of things that they do in the community, and it shows. It truly does.
Well, Pat, we want to thank you for doing your part, coming out tonight, helping to raise money for the Shriners Children's Hospital, and we want to wish you a continued success this year. Keep it up, man. You've really endeared yourself to the fans, solidifying a position that this team has struggled with for years sometimes. And I think everybody, and we speak from behalf of the Buccaneer fans and our Pewter Report readers, we appreciate having you back in the Tampa Bay community. So thank you.
I couldn't be happier to be back. And to the fans, thank you for welcoming me back with open arms. The encouragement that you give, the keep it going, Pats, the great job, Pats. I hear it all, and it's truly appreciated. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you.
All right, we appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to speak to our good buddy Chris Fisher. You remember him from the Bucs Brief podcast. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on the field and what's going to go on maybe in the future. We've also got another special guest going to be coming up, Mr. T-Kraz from the 620 show, Ronnie and T-Kraz. You can hear him on WDAE 620 every morning from 6 to 9. We're going to take a pause. We're going to come back and talk to these guys. You're listening to the Pewter Nation podcast. We are here back with our host tonight at Ford's Garage. Mr. Steve Smith is here. No, not the former Carolina Panthers receiver, although he looks like he could still play a little ball. Did you play ball back in the day?
Hey, back in the day, absolutely.
All right. Well, Steve is part of the Ford's Garage chain. And first of all, we want to thank you guys for having us out tonight. We've had a great time. We want to thank you for hosting Pat Murray and for you guys helping out the Shriners Children's Hospital. And being part of the community is something that's important to Ford's, isn't it?
Absolutely. We're glad to have you here today. And we've done a few of these events and look forward to doing many more in the future.
For people who don't know what Ford's Garage is, and occasionally people say, what is Ford's Garage? They think literally it's a garage for Ford's. That's not the case. Talk about the concept of Ford's Garage and what you guys want to put out there for people.
Well, so we're known for craft beer and burgers. And, you know, any topping that you want to put on a burger, absolutely we have it, along with our 40 draft beers. So that's our specialty. We do our fresh never frozen Angus, Kobe, and bison. And then we also have comfort foods such as meatloaf, And some chicken dishes.
Lobster
as well as
mac and
sauce.
Cheese.
Lobster mac and cheese, absolutely.
And talk about, this is the best part. Not for me, because I don't drink, but for other people who like to enjoy a beverage after work, you guys have an amazing happy hour. Talk about that.
Well, we have a great happy hour. From Monday through Friday, 11 to 7, we have our...
You realize that's more than an hour, right? It should be happy hours.
Happy hours, yeah. Absolutely. Well, and then on top of that, we have our all-day, every-day $4 premium wells. So definitely 24 hours a day that we're open. So
very good. Well, Steve, we appreciate you stopping by. And more important, we appreciate the partnership that we have with you guys. It's been a wonderful relationship. We hope it continues in the future. You've got a great business here. Real briefly, talk about some stores. Let's talk about your current locations and where you guys are going to be opening up in the future.
Right. Well, absolutely. Well, right now we're here in Wesley Chapel. And we're getting ready to open up at a location in Countryside, followed by St. Petersburg, and then we'll be heading out east to Lakeland, and then we have a couple locations going in the Orlando market.
Very good. So you guys are taking over the state.
We are taking over the state of Florida.
Any pushback from Chevy fans? Do you let Chevy fans come in?
Hey, we have had a parking lot full of Chevy cars before, so we welcome all types of business.
Except for foreign cars. No, they're not allowed.
No,
just
they're
kidding. If they've got money, they are allowed. And let me tell you something. I'm a Chevy guy, but this is a wonderful place. Doesn't matter what you like to drive. That has no bearing on it. Great food, great drink, great atmosphere here at Ford's Garage. Definitely check them out. And you can go to Pewter Report at any time. You can also go to FordsGarageUSA.com to check out their website as well, correct?
Absolutely.
Very good. Steve, thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks for hosting the Pewter Nation podcast.
All right. Thanks for letting us be a part of this.
We're back. Live at Ford's Garage here in Wesley Chapel, Florida. I'm Mark Cook along with Scott Reynolds and the man bun himself. Good crowd out here tonight supporting Pat Murray's charity, the Shriners Children's Hospital. And we got a guy to drive all the way over from Polk County. This guy rarely leaves Polk County.
It's true.
I mean, people in Polk County just don't leave very often.
There's only one guy that can get me to leave Polk County, and his name is not Trevor. It's
That's
not the man
right.
bun.
That's
Damn
right.
right.
Pat
That's
Murray.
Right.
Hashtag I'm a Pat Murray
oh,
guy.
I thought you were talking about me. What about, I thought maybe it would be Ahmad Black. No?
Nah.
He can't get
that's,
you out
that's
of Polk
five
County?
Years ago.
Well, all right. Major Wright?
No Major Wright.
No Major Wright. Okay.
Both Gator greats. Thank He's, you for mentioning.
Yes. He started tanking.
I was trying
the
to think of somebody else. Vernon Hargraves?
I like Beatrice.
Well, the boy. Voice you're hearing is Mr. Chris Fisher, formerly of the Bucks Brief podcast. He used to do a tremendous podcast until he just decided, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. It takes up too much time.
That's true. I used to have you guys on. You and Scott, I'd rotate every other week.
Yeah, I would be like, how long you need me on for? And you go, I don't know, an hour? I was like, what, an hour? Yeah.
No, I was telling Pat earlier, it was segmented out. It'd be 15 minutes. I do the intro, then I have a guest on for 15. But like, anytime Cook was on, 45 minimum.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually liked his podcast better than ours.
I do too, because
I would
he does
rather
it,
do
we
it
don't have
than
to.
Ours.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It's a lot easier to be a guest on a podcast than setting up. Wait, you and I have never set up.
No.
If Trevor died, the Pewter Nation podcast would go away because we don't know what this thing does. We have no idea.
Like, it's a board with a lot of switches and buttons.
Yeah, with some little bright lights sometimes, which entertains me.
I DM Trevor.
Electricity and stuff to it.
I DM Trevor all the time, give him like certain equipment that he needs and like tips and trying to hook you guys up, man. You guys do good work.
We need help because Scott and I are dinosaurs in the technology world.
Yeah.
You know, we still have pagers and beepers.
How old are you?
How old am I?
Yeah.
41.
Yes. Okay. Because we just had two millennials on the show.
Yeah. That was very uncomfortable.
We're taking over.
Yeah, Pat Murray and Trevor Sikkema. It was like a 2-on-2.
Yeah.
Now Trevor's outnumbered again.
It wasn't fair.
Which, as it should be.
Right. Of course. Right.
But I'm also a Gator, so I'm still on Trevor's side.
That doesn't matter to me.
How did the basketball team do against Florida State?
Let's not talk about that.
Like get to the point of the podcast here, please? Thank you.
I just want to say that Kansas State has got the best record in football of either one of you in your schools.
Yeah, well, we play in real football conferences,
record.
Though.
We have a winning record.
We play in conferences that actually have defenses.
That's true.
Unlike your
That's
conference.
True. Well, we play in conferences that have Heisman Trophy winners.
You play in a conference that I swear to God, sometimes I think it's a basketball score.
It's arena
when I see
football.
It scroll at the bottom, I literally
football.
Have to see if it says F or B on it because I don't know.
It's entertaining football.
That
it's
is like that. I'll give you that much.
Derek Brooks likes it.
Now Chris is joining us tonight. Chris, you know, let's talk about this season so far just real briefly. Unfortunately, things haven't went the way that the Buccaneers expected them to go. I think we all had expectations. Where did you see this team at the beginning of the year? Now, I had them at 4-12. Scott,
wrong.
Oh, maybe I had them at 12-4. I can't remember, but I had them doing pretty good. Where did you see this team when the season started?
I had high expectations going into it, but there were some things that were going on in the preseason that really kind of caught my eye. And when it comes to not being able to score touchdowns, and that's really what I focused on. And, you know, with all the talent that's on this team, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, it still kind of concerned me that even in the preseason they couldn't put the ball in the end zone. So I started tracking it because I know Dirk mentioned it in his press conference. I think it was following the previous loss about Mike Evans being doubled and Cameron Brate being doubled. So I started tracking the first four games of the year and saw this offense actually moving away from Mike Evans when you get into the red zone and using him as a decoy, which I could not believe what I was seeing. I didn't really focus on that as I'm watching the games, but when I go back and watch the coaches' film, it blows my mind that you have Mike Evans and you're basically using him to run 5 yards and stand there while you're trying to drop a play for Chris Godwin or someone else. It honestly blew my mind.
That pass to Evans in the end zone this last Sunday almost caught me by surprise that they actually threw him the ball in the end, when they were in the red zone.
I've seen it since the Giants game.
Right. I mean, I can't remember the last Evans red zone target. And I'm sure, you know, it's happened. But
let me ask you this.
I can't remember it.
Is this the play design? Are these the designs of the play? Or is this the decision maker pulling the trigger on
that?
No.
When you are in the red zone and you hike the ball and you drop two steps back and you throw the ball, that's the hot read. That's the design. He's not – you don't have the time to look around. That's exactly where the ball is supposed to go. And that's why if they're between the 10 and 20 – the ball is going to the tight end. And if they're within the 10, it's going to be a fade to Mike Evans. And it just they almost like can't even get there.
No.
And so it's been a rough time in the red zone this season.
In the red zone, the middle of the field, which is, I mean, clogged. I mean, you saw the Patriots drop back in zone against the Bucs. All the traffic is in the middle of the field. And to not utilize your weapons on the outside when you've got Evans, who's 6'4", 6'5", whatever he is. The only time they did it is the Giants game, and they're not doubling Mike Evans in the red zone. And why would they? Because they don't use him in the red zone. They don't utilize the weapon that they have. So, to me, that's really been the most frustrating thing. It's really kept with the theme of what I saw in preseason was not putting points on the board. And look, this defense, it's going to eventually break. Okay, they're a bend, don't break defense. No, they break all the time, right? But if your offense, who really is where this team is focused over the last, four drafts, has really been focused mainly on the offensive side of the ball, they have to score 3+ touchdowns a game to even be in it. And I actually thought scoring 3 touchdowns yesterday that would be enough to win the football game. But again, they don't let my boy get a chance to kick a game-winning field goal 2 games in a row.
Yeah.
Well, and the crazy thing is if you go back and look historically with Dirk Cutter, since he joined this team in 2015 as the offensive coordinator, this team has hovered around 20, 21 points.
Yes.
From 19 to 21 points. That's been their average, you know, season by season. And I fully expected them to break out this year, cross the 24-point barrier, 25, 26 points, because if you do that, you're winning football games, you're making the playoffs, and I thought that was going to be what was going to happen this year.
Yeah.
And early on, it was kicking issues, but like you said, it's also been red zone issues, too.
Sure.
And the reason it's been kicking issues is because they're not scoring touchdowns. They're settling for field goals, and those field goals weren't made.
Yeah, I mean, people point to yardage stats all the time, and, you know, Winston has 4,000 passing yards, which is great, but if you can't put the ball in the end zone, it doesn't really make a difference.
It doesn't matter. You have to be able to score.
I mean, the fact that the NFL tracks offensive performances and who ranks the highest in the NFL in offense by yards just absolutely blows my mind. You have to look at the entire picture.
Well, and Todd Monken called it window dressing, essentially.
It is.
You know, there's a lot of stats out there or yardage that happens in certain situations. I remember, Scott, you and I having lunch with Greg Schiano, and he really – remember what he talked about, that website? Which one was it? Pro Football Reference, not Pro Football Focus, is one that he really liked because it put things in more game perspective, because there is a lot of window dressing. Because, again, third down conversions. He wants to know, what did we do third down when it's 3rd and 7 versus 3rd and 1? 3rd and 1 is it should be a win for the offense 70% of the time. You know, so, you know, there's different ways you can look at it. Chris makes a good point. Again, when we pull up Buccaneer, the Buccaneer offense is ranked 7th or whatever it may be. It doesn't matter. They're 4-9.
It's all about points. It's about scoring points, and it's about
keeping the other team from scoring points.
That's it. Because the scoreboard, not the stat sheet, is the decider in wins and losses.
Yep, for sure. Real quickly, moving forward now, there's 3 games left. What are you wanting to see out of this football team as they move forward these last three games?
I think Trevor mentioned this on the previous podcast. I don't think they're going to win another football game.
Right.
I hope it doesn't get too ugly Monday night against the Falcons. I'd hate to see that. Regardless on if you think this staff should continue or not, but with all the attention that's going to be on Coach Gruden, it's just, to me, could get eerily similar to the Shiano Miami Monday night game, I think, years past, where it just got ugly in the stands.
Ugly in the stands.
In the stands.
They actually won that game, though, against Miami.
Yeah.
But Darrell Revis sealed the game with an interception at the end.
Right.
Levante David had a safety. He had a hell of a game that game.
Mike James broke his ankle. He had a great start to that game coming off the Seahawks game and broke his ankle.
Yeah. Well, Chris, we appreciate you joining us for a quick segment.
I want to ask him.
No, you can't.
I'm going to ask him a question.
You can't.
Yeah,
okay, one more.
I am. I'm going to ask you a question.
I'm going to do like, never mind. I won't say who I am.
Are you offering me a job?
No. Last question.
The question is, okay, so if the Bucs are going to lose the next three games, what do you want to see or what do you think is going to happen in 2018?
I think I'm honestly right now thinking that this entire staff is going to be let go. I mean, I don't know what they could do over the next three games. You're probably going to have to play without Gerald McCoy. I believe he's done now for the rest of the year. This defensive line can't put pressure on the quarterback anyway. Now you take out their best defensive lineman. It's got potential to be ugly. I don't really think at this point that there's any way that Dirk or this staff saves their job. We understand what these owners do when they clean house every 2 years. You guys have pointed this out many times. If you're losing football games in December, that's what sticks out. And I think it's a trend that's going to continue. And unfortunately, I think it's just going to be for Bucs fans, again, bringing in another staff and another regime and hoping for the best and hoping that the next coaching staff can utilize the talent that they have.
Who do you want to see replace Dirk Koetter?
I'm a Josh McDaniels guy. Look, I understand a lot of fans really like Coach Gruden. I appreciate the fact of what he did for this organization. He hasn't coached in, 10 years in the NFL? Josh McDaniels is the hottest candidate out there right now. If you talk about scoring points, I went back and tracked every year he's been the offense coordinator in New England, and it's crazy if you look at game by game, 4 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns, 6 touchdowns.
No, McDaniels is great. No, I'm with you. If they're looking,
because he drafted Tim Tebow.
No. Yeah, let's
admit
face it.
No, admit it. That's what it is.
I'm gonna actually
Tebow will
say
be here
that
next year if McDaniels.
I'm actually going to say that I saw people kind of coming at you, Chris, on Twitter when you said McDaniels because they talked about his Denver years. They talked about what he was like then.
That was the playoffs.
That was his first year as a head. Or that was his first time as a head coach. Correct.
7 years ago.
And
yeah,
he was basically like hand tied to try to draft Tim Tebow and make something out of him. And yet
absolutely
he made the playoffs, won a playoff game with it. So
you're dealing
with Elway, who's basically the coach himself. I'm with you.
He's dealing with Elway. He was dealing with Jay Cutler, who didn't want to play. He was dealing with Brandon Marshall, who was getting an off the field problem. So he dealt with a lot. I think he's learned a lot. I like the outside of the box ideas for this football team. It seems like they always go with the
same. What a novel concept.
Well, we bring back Lovey. He coached here before. Okay, let's just keep Dirk on. Well, we're going to go with John Gruden. Like, think outside of the box and let's see what happens.
The amazing thing about Josh McDaniels is he's been able to score points without a quarterback. I don't know how he's been able to do it.
But think about it. I understand that he's had Tom Brady, but think of what he could potentially do with Jameis Winston. And that's, to me, the most exciting thing. It's not working with Dirk.
You just heard it right here. Chris Fisher said Jameis Winston is the next Tom Brady. We just heard it right here.
I think Jameis is the franchise quarterback. I know there's a lot of debate going on there, but let's give him an opportunity to get a coach who utilizes the weapons that are on this football team. And that's the problem right now when you've got a Mike Evans, when you've got a DeSean Jackson, you've got these other guys, young talent. Chris Godwin looks great. O.J. Howard's doing great. You got to utilize the weapons and – to me, I think McDaniels is the perfect candidate to be able to do that.
Well, thanks for joining us, Chris. We appreciate
it, Chris.
Where can
Thank
people
you.
Find you at on Twitter? And also, you have a podcast.
Yeah, so it's at BBPChris is my Twitter. So it's like Bucks Brief Podcast, Chris on Twitter. And then I have a show called BYOCB. That's on Spotify. It's hanging out with your friends bar drinking show. It is explicit. So parents, just be warned on that. But you can check us out on Spotify and everywhere you listen to podcasts.
I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for joining us. We're going to come back one more segment with our good buddy Tom Krasnicki from WDAE 620 right after this. You're listening to the Pewter Nation Podcast. And we are back for the last segment of the Pewter Nation Podcast. I'm Mark Cook along with Scott Reynolds and the man bun himself who has taken his hat off, which makes me very uncomfortable right now because he looks very funny with his hair down because it's not braided. And I think I hear another voice somewhere. Listen closely. Do you hear it?
I don't.
Whoa. Did you hear
Whoa.
That?
Whoa.
Whoa.
Is that Lurch?
You rang.
You rang. That voice is very familiar. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, you know exactly who that is. That's Mr. T-Grass, Tom Grasnicki of 620 WDAE. Thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Guys, thanks for having me. Welcome to Wesley Chapel.
Now, we're not going to pay you anywhere near what John Mamola pays you. I just want to let you know that. I will buy your first beer, but
well,
that's
if
it.
It's $1, it's $1 more than what he's paying. Oh!
Hey, real quick. Does Ron or JP or Ronnie listen to our podcast at all?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I just want to say that the T-Kraz is by far our favorite 620 radio host that we're on.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Ronnie. I like Ron and JP. But T-Kraz, honestly, is why I call in the mornings.
Yeah, that's
true. Well, thank you. I left my cue cards at home, so, I mean, you know.
You're going to be able to do this without your cue cards?
I don't know, man. I'm going to try and wing it.
Now, you got up this morning early. You got into the studio and flip the on button at 6 a.m. What did people want to talk about after yesterday? What was the big topic?
Well, more so than the Bucks loss, it's the report from Ian Rappaport about the relationship between Dirk Hunter and Jameis Winston. It really, from the time we signed on, actually it went back to yesterday because the story came out yesterday morning, right, as you guys know. So I do Countdown to Kickoff with Michael Clayton. Micah T-Kraz! The media! The big bad media! You're part of it! They control the narrative! So, you know, he's yelling at me for 2 hours, and then we're talking about that Countdown to Kickoff, the overtime show, obviously, after the Bucks lose, everything gets amplified, as you guys know. Everyone's piling on Dirk. The relationship with Jameis is not working. We need wholesale changes. It carried over to this morning between calls and texts, so that was a hot topic.
Well, and you know, we talked about it last night, or Sunday night, on our podcast following the game. I talked to JP, I was on with him earlier today, and you know, the more I've thought about this, and I even put it in the mailbag, I so what? So, Jameis made a great point yesterday, guys. If we're winning football games, it doesn't matter. No one's talking about it,
no one cares.
And they're not,
they're
but
not
you're right, they're not
games.
Winning football games. But Jameis Winston and Jimbo Fisher butted heads every single day. Not once a week, they butted heads. The difference is, at the end of the day, they had a national championship, a Heisman Trophy. Jimbo Fisher ended up with $75 million from Texas A&M, and Jameis ended up being the number one overall draft pick. So when it works, you can butt heads. But these are the things that get amplified and magnified and turn into distraction stories when your football team loses.
Well, I ask you this, Mr. Florida State. Did he ever accuse Jimbo Fisher of having predictability on offense?
Jameis, no, but Mark Cook did.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. No, you read my Twitter timeline going back to when Jimbo took over. You would think I hated Jimbo Fisher, and I kind of do. But again, Jameis said it yesterday. I don't care if it's predictable. I don't care if they know what we're going to run. We have to be man enough to go out there, and that's what he enjoys. That's what he thinks football is about. It's okay. You know what we're going to do. Now stop us. Stop the execution of it. And so, you know,
well,
I kind of
the problem is they're stopping the execution, a pretty good deal.
Yeah, well, that
you
that,
know,
again,
the Bucks aren't scoring enough points.
I agree with that.
And the lack of execution comes from one guy not doing their own assignment and also the quarterback not doing what he's supposed to do either. So he gets a lot of the blame. You guys know when you win, the quarterback gets all the praise. When you lose, he gets most of the blame.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're knee-deep in this season. It's almost over. We're into December. You've watched every single game, every single snap. You've talked about it after the game, all through the week. What is the number one problem on this team, in your opinion?
I'm looking at how much time do you guys have on this podcast?
I want you to pick
answer.
One.
I'm telling you.
The top one.
I have to narrow it down to one.
The top thing. What is the biggest problem on this team?
I don't think they're as talented as they thought they were. And, you know, Mike Evans said it. Damar Dotson said it. And I don't know if Hard Knocks guys, if this is a Hard Knocks effect, if complacency kind of sunk into this organization. Because if you remember, when Hard Knocks was going on, the narrative from the big bad media, both locally and nationally, wow, look at the Bucks, look at Jameis. Jameis came off looking very well in Hard Knocks. Damar Dotson and Mike Evans said it after the fact. Maybe we were overrating ourselves. We thought we were a lot better than we actually were.
Show up and win, right?
I do believe that played into it. I do think complacency was a factor. I do.
All right, T-Kraz, moving forward now, again, you are Brian, Joel, Ed, and Darcy, all combined in one. and it's now January 2nd, the Monday after the final game. What are you doing if you're the ownership?
Well, I'm sitting Dirk down, and I'm having a heart-to-heart with him. And first off, I want to hear his input into how the season was going. And all the same while, I'm doing my own evaluations. And I think right now as we speak, in mid-December, whatever it is, they know exactly what they're doing, what they're going to do, and how they're going to do it. Because I think they've been planning this for a couple of weeks. So
agreed.
I think there are wholesale changes coming. Now, the next move from them is...
Well, hold on 1 second. So in that exit interview, the season-ending interview with Dirk, there's nothing he can say at that point to change your mind. You want to hear what he has to say.
No. Yeah,
but
I'm
your mind's made up if you're the
Blazers. As you do at every exit interview, but they have their mind made up, and there's nothing he can say that will change their mind.
Right.
I think they're going to make big changes, guys, and you guys know that.
Yeah.
Now, the question is how big of a change will it be? Will it be wholesale changes? Is it just Dirk? Is it the front office? Is it the scouting department? So what's the next step? Do you hire the coach who wants all the power? Or, as Scotty and I were talking off mic right before you came on, I think the Bucks should look into hiring a director of football operations the way Jacksonville did with Tom Coughlin, like John Elway in Denver, and let that guy delegate the authority, let him find a personnel guy, and let him find the coach. So there are two ways you can go about it. But I think the Glazers are going to go for the home run, whether it's John Gruden or Jim Harbaugh. I think they're going to try for the big-time name, the big-time coach, because more than anything, they want to get back to winning. They also want to sell tickets, which is also very, very big.
It really is, because you know they get the revenue check from the networks. They get the merchandise. But that's what you control. You control your gate. And when there's 50,000 people showing up, that's 15,000 less than capacity week after week. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of seat money, concession money, parking money that they're losing out on. And, you know, I think...
It's a lot of Doug Martin jerseys not getting sold.
Hell of a lot of Muscle Hampshire jerseys not getting
sold. Why am I feeling they're going to be on clearance tomorrow?
You guys were there yesterday. It was that same half full. I mean, I don't get to go to the games because I'm stuck in the dungeon all day.
Apparently 50,000 was there. It's a lot of Lions fans, though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
A lot more Lions fans than I thought.
By the way, what's up with that? I mean, I don't know, the Lions traveled as well as, you know, the Steelers or the Cowboys.
Have you been to Michigan in December?
Hey, football team's playing in Florida. You want to go? Yes. Okay.
Or I don't know how many were traveling. Or, again, we know this Bay Area is full of transplants. Kansas, New York. Well,
don't point at
Skip's
me.
A native.
Don't point at me.
Yeah, you're kind of.
What's up,
Bradenton?
What's up,
West Side? All right, and me too. I'm a native. Born and raised. Well, not born. I was held prisoner of war in Germany for the first 2 years of my life.
I kind of like Trevor when he doesn't have the man bun. He lets his hair hang down a little bit. I like this Trevor.
He looks like a damn Viking, doesn't he?
Third segment, got to let it loose. You know what I'm saying?
Well, T-Kraz, where can people hear you? I know everybody probably listening knows anyway, but just in case there's somebody new listening, where can they hear you at? And talk about where people connect
with
you
also. With a
metal
hanger in the back of the closet. Every morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., 620 WDAE on the iHeartRadio app. You can download for free. You can listen to us from anywhere in the civilized world. Our podcasts are available on the iHeart app as well. And once a week, I do a silly little television appearance on Bay News 9 for Spectrum
Sports.
Yeah,
that's awful.
So.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I try and watch it every
terrible.
Week.
Well, and just to boost their ratings, you can hear me on Monday mornings at 7:15.
Right.
You can hear Trevor at 8:30.
Trevor... Half hour in studio with the man bun all taped up for our Pewter Report Roundtable every Wednesday.
Every week.
And he brings it, too.
He does. He does a great job. And then we got Cook.
Friday mornings. 7:15.
Doing the game previews.
When I remember to wake up.
By the way, it'd be you and I one-on-one on Friday because Lane, I'm taking a day off.
Oh, my gosh. Well, he's excited
about... Well, that's
what I do. He's excited about the Jeremy Pruitt hire at Tennessee. Way to give him crap. That was wonderful, by the way.
Until he finds out, like we all know, apparently he doesn't, that Nick Saban against his former assistants, you don't beat that guy.
No, you absolutely
don't. And Tennessee plays
him
every year.
Yeah,
he'll figure it out in about 5 years.
Yep, absolutely.
But by the way, it's a pleasure talking to Pat Murray, man. You want to talk about one position you don't have to worry about?
Yep.
And the Bucks better lock him up because he's got an expiring contract. Yep. And talking to him before, and he's like,
and
I don't care about that. He goes, I got 3 games left. He goes, I'm looking to perform in those 3 games, and that'll take care of itself. I love this guy's mindset.
Yeah, you know what? I think we all have to agree Levante David's been the team MVP this year, right?
Without question, yeah.
And he's number two, in my opinion. Even though he came midway through the season, you talk about consistency.
Right.
And doing his job. I mean, it's Levante and it's Pat Murray. Those two guys.
And then Donovan Smith. No?
Probably not Donovan. No.
No?
No, I would not go Donovan number three.
Okay. Ryan Russell.
Who?
Ryan Russell.
Who?
I don't know. Ryan Gosling?
Maybe Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
But not, no. I would definitely go Levante one.
Pat Murray two.
I would
two.
Go Pat Murray two.
Donovan Grimes? Smith three.
No. He loafed really bad yesterday. That bothered me.
He's a quarterback. Loafed. Would you people stop?
And Levante David
tackle?
Bailed
That's
him
not
out
his
on
job.
That play.
Listen to this.
He
guy.
Bailed him out
Everybody's
by punching the ball.
On Brent. I love
fifth
Grimes.
Force fumble.
He's my favorite.
Fifth fumble recovery.
Not really. He's not my favorite, but I really
you
like
just like
Brent
Miko.
A lot.
That's why.
He's a cool guy.
You like
she
Miko.
Hasn't blocked me on Twitter yet, so that's
how
I've
does,
almost made
how
it.
Does that
like
happen?
12 games in the season, and I haven't been blocked.
I'm insulted that she hasn't blocked me yet.
Oh, we were blocked pretty quickly.
You were blocked pretty
okay,
quickly.
I was blocked
you,
pretty quickly.
You, Scott Reynolds,
and what did you
was
do,
blocked
Scott,
very quickly.
To earn the blockage.
I called her out.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah, like immediately.
Sorry, I'm not afraid of Miko Grimes. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, well, she's probably not listening to this podcast, but I'll tweet her and let her know.
That's fine.
All right, very good. T-Crass, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Oh,
we'll
thank
be
you,
listening.
Guys. We appreciate your contributions to our radio station each and every day, certainly Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We love you guys, man.
Yeah,
cool.
It's an honor to be on your show, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, man. I'll expect
pleasure's all yours.
I'll expect some Outback tickets later. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That.
No, thank you, Mark.
Right, no
yeah, you ain't getting a dime for me.
I know that's right. All right, well, I appreciate it. We appreciate everybody listening. We appreciate Ford's Garage tonight for hosting this event, for being part of donating money to Pat Murray's charity, the Shriners Children's Hospital. We appreciate T-Kraz. We appreciate Pat Murray being here and also Chris Fisher. We'll be back later in the week. It may be later in the week because the schedule has changed a little bit with the Bucks playing a Monday night game. So it may be a Friday podcast. We're not sure. But we will have another midweek later in the week podcast of the Pewter Nation podcast. For Scott Reynolds, Mark Cook, what's your name? Trevor Sikkema? That's it. I'm
Nailed
getting
it.
Tired. It's way past my
Nailed
bedtime,
it.
Too. Anyway,
we know two segments is the limit now.
For everybody who's been here, I'm not even going to try and remember everybody. We appreciate you listening. I'm Mark Cook signing off, saying we will hit you later in the week with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.